Well, today is Mission Sunday. Mandy and I are going to be team teaching today. We are both extremely passionate, just like many of you, about global missions. And we feel a strong calling to go into all the world and make disciples. And we're going to celebrate a lot of that today. I remember my very first missions trip and how much it changed my life because I saw how much it changed people's lives. I remember that trip like it was yesterday. It was my first missions trip as an adult. We went to Kenya and there in Africa, and just the amazing people, watching the church being built, watching Christians there. And all of a sudden, my mind began to expand because I realized that there isn't just an American church. There is the global church, and it's an amazing thing to be a part of. People are working all over the earth to spread the gospel, and we are a part of that, and we're so excited. So when it comes to missions, throughout the day today as we're talking, Chris at this campus mentioned it earlier, but really we have a three-pronged approach when it comes to missions here. You can give, pray, go. You can do one, you can do all three, but we really, while we're talking today, we want you to really think through, what is God calling you to be a part of with missions? What kind of heart does God want you to have when it comes to a lot of the things that we're celebrating and talking about with global missions? So to kick things off today, we're going to look at just the biblical perspective of global missions and the foundation. I want to start with that. The foundation for why we believe so much as a church in global missions is simply this: God's heart for the nations. God has a huge heart for all nations. And it goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. God gave Abraham a promise. And that promise was that through Abraham, that all nations would be blessed. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says this: "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.'" And get this part: "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I know that's in the Old Testament, but that is pointing to us in the New Testament as the New Testament church, that all people on earth should be blessed by the church today. And we see God's heart for all people. Again, even in John 3:16, that famous verse, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone," everybody say everyone, "so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So a few quick things. We believe that if missions is close to the heart of God, then Christians should actively participate. It's not something just for pastors, just for church staff, for people we kind of consider elite Christians. That it's not. It's for every person who professes Christianity. We need to participate. And it's about actively engaging in missions, and it's not an option, but a core responsibility of our Christian faith. So, and these kind of correspond with our vision and mission here at our church. Our vision statement is this: we are a Christ-centered, Spirit-led, kingdom-building movement committed to the physical and spiritual renewal of cities and nations, restoring hope and purpose to every person. And closely linked to that is our mission statement, and it's simply this: we partner with God to build the church among all people everywhere. And that is a huge part of who we are.
It's so exciting. I'm over here amening you. Can you hear me? Yeah, I know. I'm usually over there, but I'm just like, yes, that's who we are. We are a church that believes in missions because we want our hearts to align with the heart of God. And we know that God's heart beats for people. He sent his son for people. And if God's heart breaks for people, then that should be our prayer. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. And since you love people that much, let me see people the way you do. And let me get out of my little bubble and my little American area and just how I view things and my perspective. But God, open my eyes to how big the world is and your heart for the world. Let us see people the way you do. And that is why those are our mission and our vision statements, because that's what we want to do as a church. We don't want to play church, right? We want to be the church. We want to actively engage and take the gospel everywhere we can. We can't do it all, but we can do something. And so that's what we try to do. So we're going to look at the biblical purpose for global missions today. And first is this: the command, which is the Great Commission. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. It's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read this to you. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, and I want you to get this. This is right after the death, resurrection of Jesus. And he's meeting with his disciples right before he ascends into heaven. And he's giving him their final, like, here's your pep talk and here's a command. This is not just, I'm suggesting doing this. He's saying, this is a command based on my authority. And he established his authority by coming up out of the grave. They knew this is God talking to us. And so he says, this is what I want to do. Catch this. He says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission, the co-mission. When we step in and we obey this command, we are on mission with Jesus. And that's someone I want to be on mission with. Because Jesus is going to prevail. His kingdom will advance one way or another, and I want to be a part of that. So this is his command to us. And my iPad just completely crashed. But this is his command to us. There it is. Come on, give him a shout of praise, everybody.
That demon tried, but he did not succeed.
Jesus' mission will go forward. Not my mission, his mission. But we know that the Holy Spirit will empower us. That is the purpose for Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples, I want you to go to the upper room and wait for my Holy Spirit. And then my Holy Spirit will give you power to take this message to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8, he says, but you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love the picture of this verse because it's saying, start at home and then expand even more. Let this ring get bigger and bigger and go farther and further and take my message. It's not just about home, it's both and. And that has been our model for missions. Absolutely, we work really hard in our city and we know our city is in need, but we also know it's both and. We're gonna work here and we're going to send teams and missionaries out and see the work of Jesus go across the globe. It is a command. And here's what the Great Commission is not. First of all, it is not negotiable. Like I said, it is a command. He, with authority, Jesus says what? Go. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say if you're not scared. He just says go. It's not negotiable. If you are a Christ follower, this is something that is expected of us. We go or we help go because it's a part of the Great Commission. Secondly, the Great Commission is not restrictive. It's for everyone, like Dustin was talking about. It's for all people. And we cannot be selective with the who because it's for everyone, all people. And thirdly, it's not complicated. It's pretty simple. It's go and share the message of Jesus. It's pretty simple, but just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. That's the fourth one. The Great Commission, it's not easy. It is not easy. I think that's why we love missionaries so much. Yeah. We love to hang out with missionaries and be around missionaries. If you have ever had that opportunity, missionaries are those risk-taking, adventurous, unbelievable people who are willing to step out and actually take a step instead of just talking about it. Because I know that a lot of you are thinking right now, man, I'll say yes to Jesus. I would do that. But would you? You know, missionaries are those risk-taking people. So it's not easy, but it is something that Jesus commands us to do, and it's worth it.
It is. And then the second thing, when we look at the biblical purpose of global missions, is the need. What's the need for missions? The lost world. The lost. Every Christian should have a heart for the lost. People that don't know Jesus yet. And the world is full of lost people. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person at some point in their life, when it comes to their relationship with Christ, every person who is a believer came to a point where they went from lost to found, right? By encountering Jesus, the gospel, believing Jesus, believing in his name, calling on his name, and getting saved. But here's what we think about when we're thinking about the lost. This is where this gets tricky. So we know salvation comes only through hearing and believing the gospel, which is the message of Jesus. But in order to hear and believe, Christians have to go. In order for the world to hear the gospel, then believe it and move from lost to found, someone has to go. And this is where when Mandy was talking about missionaries and why they're heroes to us, is they're the ones that God is calling to go. And the churches in the United States, that's where we're at, a great place to be able to send those who say, we're called to go. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I love that passage because it says there's a whole lot of people out there that need to believe, but it all starts with people saying yes to God and then churches and communities of faith sending people out. I want to show you a few statistics about the unreached people in the world. These are fascinating. So one of them is this: almost 3 billion people in the world right now are considered unreached. Unreached meaning there has not been a missionary, a community of faith that has gone to where they are, and they're considered unreached. 3 billion people. To kind of give you context for how many people that is, all of Europe is only 742 million, and all of Africa is only 1.5 billion. And it still doesn't get to the amount of people spread out all over the world that are still considered unreached. Also, approximately 42% of the world lives without access to the gospel. What does that mean? This number is beginning to radically shrink, but at the same time, that's still a big number. What that means is this. It could mean one stream is Bibles aren't translated in the language yet. There may not be access for those Bibles to be translated or people to communicate what it means, what the gospel message means, and why Jesus came. So there could be a lack of a church, a lack of a minister, a lack of a missionary, or just the lack of the Bible being translated in their native language. But here's what's cool too. As the world is getting bigger, it's also getting smaller. And we have, like what Mandy said, there's an absolute call to go, but there's also a huge calling, even with global missions, locally. How so? Well, let's look at this. Let's ask this question. What if the world is coming to us in our backyard, okay? So I want you to look at a few of these statistics. There are over 1 million international students in the U.S. every single year. Isn't that astounding to think about the ministry opportunity there is? That if people are coming here to study here in our country, we should celebrate that. And then also have ministries that are impacting students that are here learning. Yeah. So when they go home, they're taking the gospel with them. I think that's an amazing opportunity. Also, 40% of the world's 220 heads of state once studied in the United States. That is huge. And is such an opportunity, again, as a reminder, yeah, of people are coming to us in our backyard to study and learn, and then going back to their own countries and becoming leaders in their countries. And how amazing would it be if they encountered the gospel and their lives were changed by Jesus while they're here. Also, thirdly on this is only 10% of international students are reached by ministries while they're in the United States. As we saw this statistic this week, this is something that really God put on our hearts to aggressively approach. And if we could increase that percentage every single year of starting ministries to impact and to minister to and to love international students as they come to the United States. Also, to kind of further localize this for us here in Albuquerque. Our church here, our central campus, is in Highland High School School District. We love Highland High School, have an amazing relationship with Highland High School, just amazing. We love them. And they also are a beautiful tapestry of the diversity of international students coming in. So look at these latest statistics from Highland. Out of the 1,279 students at Highland, 473 of them are from a different country. This is amazing. Yeah. This is amazing. The diversity and opportunity we have to love on people and to minister to people and to show them who Jesus really is. Also, at Highland High School, there are 12 different languages actively spoken. And the list is going to come up on the screen. There's Arabic, Bengali, Dari, English, Spanish, Farsi, Indonesian, Korean, Swahili, Thai, Urdu, Vietnamese. And it's such a cool thing to see and to know, yes, we have a call to go into all the world, but at the same time, all the world is also coming home to where we are. And I think we can clap to that. There's so much opportunity there to love people, to minister, and to really see the lost found. God's ultimate vision is this, is a redeemed humanity from every nation, tribe, people, and language worshiping him. That's God's ultimate vision for humanity. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 is an amazing passage. I want you to really tune in as I'm reading this because this is a picture of what it'll be like in heaven one day and how diverse and shows and reveals the love that God has for every nation and every tribe. It says this, "After this I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" What an amazing picture of one day when we're standing before the throne of God and looking around and we're not just seeing Americans. We're seeing people from every nation, every tribe, every language, and we're all standing together in unity, worshiping the God that created us. And that's such a huge part of missions, is us understanding the heart of God. And when we understand the heart of God for all people, then it ignites this passion in us to go into all the world.
Yeah, so we've talked about the need, but every need requires strategy. So let's look at the strategy, which is making disciples and building the church. Make disciples and build the church. We try to implement that strategy when we look at our missions endeavors. Every missions endeavor that we engage with is going to have those two elements. We want to make disciples and we want to build the church. We want to get people connected. And how many know the harvest? It is plentiful. There are so many people who want to know the name of Jesus, who want to know their creator, who are hungry for something that they don't even know what it is, but they desperately need Jesus. They need salvation. So the harvest is there, but the workers, not so much. The workers are few. And Jesus says this in Matthew 9. He says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And I think it's almost a trick prayer because most of the time we're saying, "Lord, send someone. He's like, "I will. It's you. I'm going to send you. I want to use you." He desires to use each and every one of us. We know that there's so many people out there who need him. The harvest is there. We need workers to bring in the harvest. And the way Jesus models for us, he models discipleship in such a beautiful way as he's discipling his friends, discipling the 12. But then he does that so that they in turn would tell others. And then they would tell others. This is such an incredible model to expand the gospel. gospel. He wants us to have those amazing one-on-one teaching relationship. I'm going to teach you and train you in the word of God. And then in turn, you'll teach and train someone else. And then they will teach and train someone else. I'm talking about multiplication, kingdom multiplication. This is the strategy. And that the strategy is discipleship, and then also it's church building. We love church building. Why? Not just because it's fun together, but because it's powerful together. And in a church community, that's where you grow and you learn and you sharpen one another and you're fed spiritually and you're strengthened to live for God and to do this thing. It's not easy to do it alone. So the hope of the world is the local church, but that's not just the American church. We want there to be local churches all throughout the globe, planting churches so people can thrive in their faith. That is the strategy Jesus bled and died for. He died for the church. He died for us to go and take that message and build the church. And I think that's incredible. And so we are going to share just for a moment about someone specifically that we've been investing in Greece, as they are planting an amazing church in Thessaloniki. And Dustin's going to share a little bit about how this relationship started, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, about 2.5 years ago, I went with a group of pastors to Greece for a Footsteps of Paul journey. And on this trip, we met some local pastors who pastor a church in Thessaloniki, or you might pronounce it Thessalonica. And it's a city of a couple million people. And they introduced us to these pastors, and we went to a church service. And they had been pastoring for a few years, but it's so difficult to build the church there because of the Greek Orthodox Church. The Greek Orthodox Church is huge. It's not bad necessarily, but as far as evangelical Christianity, what we know as evangelical Christianity here today, that is not something that is smiled upon in Greece at all. So most people that call themselves Christians in Greece are people that just say, I'm a part of the Greek Orthodox Church, but they don't go to church. They're not a part of the community at all. It's just something they were born into. So as far as there being real salvations and life change, the light is dwindling. And I remember when we met Peter and Courtney, the pastors there on that trip, I asked him, I said, what does it feel like to pastor a church in a city that the Apostle Paul wrote letters to in the New Testament? 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And he said, honestly, it's weird and it's heavy because we're down to just hundreds of believers that are carrying this mantle, but God called us here and it's hard work. And my heart just connected with their heart while we were there. Our church went on a trip to Greece. We took about 60 people this last November, and we were there and got to experience and hang out with them while we were there too.
Yeah, it was really cool because he took us to their current building, which is very, very small. I don't know how many square feet, but it would be close to like someone's living room size. It's pretty small. And but the church is growing and people are coming to Christ. And so they have this dream of having another building, but it almost seemed impossible. So he's sharing with us. He said, we have an opportunity to acquire another space. It's 5 times the size of the one we have now. And so we're like, let's go look at it. It wasn't on our agenda at all, but we were like, let's go look at it. And so most people on that trip, we're just church loving church builders. And so we go to this space that they are just believing God for, and the realtor let us in, and we're standing in the dark. There's no power. It's like, honestly, it's filthy. It needs so much work. It's a little bit on the dingy, creepy side. And Peter's sharing with us, like, this is what we could see happening here. And we were all, I mean, our hearts were just connected to him immediately, and we prayed over that space. We were claiming that space for them. We all were pacing in all the different rooms and saying, Lord, give them this space and let them thrive in this. And so they sent us this really cool fly-through video of the vision.
Well, they acquired the space. They officially acquired the space. Well, I think we can clap to that because that's a miracle in itself. And now they're raising money, aggressively raising money to try to build out this space. He sent a 3D video that we want to show you of what the dream would be for this space. And it's beautiful, and it's right in the center, city center of Thessaloniki. And it allows just for a community center vibe. And it's just a beautiful opportunity for just the whole community as the church is growing.
Yes, it has a coffee shop. It has an area where they can take the chairs out. And it's like a pickleball area. And just really wanting it to be like a community center, but with the gospel being shared and then also a church there. But just what a beautiful, we think it looks like a combination of North and Central Campus kind of, but such a beautiful vision that they have there. And it's just cool for us as we're looking at this and seeing every seat there set up and knowing that everyone that sits in that seat, because of your generosity and your contribution to missions here, you have a part in that. And when they are in heaven one day, you'll see them face to face and know because of your generosity, you helped them get to heaven, which I think is very, very powerful. And so, yes, come on, give it up. But I think it's awesome to know that we can play a small part in someone getting to heaven. And one day, like Dustin was reading, we'll all be there from all these different nations and celebrating together. But we were able to contribute to their building.
So here's what's interesting. Peter and Courtney were actually supposed to be here today. They were confirmed to be here, and Peter was. And about a week and a half ago, they received horrible news that Peter's brother-in-law unexpectedly passed away. So we definitely need to keep them in our prayers. So they had to cancel being here. But on that phone call, though, when we were talking about him being here, I was able to tell him that we had talked to our board and how much we believe in what they're doing. And all three of our campuses are pitching in, and we're giving them the first $40,000 toward the renovations in their new building, which is amazing. And so he was unbelievably grateful, wanted to be here so bad to talk with you guys, but we're going to try to bring him out another time this year. But that really puts them down the road. And I told him, I said, Peter, we're with you. We're behind you. It's not just $40,000, and we're going to get back to our own business. We want to stay updated. Our church is passionate about building the church and your church succeeding. And we just believe that us putting this seed of $40,000 into this building will also help him fundraise, as he calls, and other people. But
Yeah, it's amazing that Jesus set the strategy. And then he just says, all right, here's the strategy. Just do the play that I called. Yeah. I called the play, run the play. And so that's our job, is just to engage in the strategy that he already set. Yep. So if you are excited about what's happening there, I think you should maybe give God some praise for a minute.
There you go. Yes. Really. And then lastly, looking at the biblical purpose for missions is the urgency. What's the urgency? Well, the return of Christ. And this isn't something that is talked about a whole lot anymore, but Jesus is coming back. Do you guys know that? Jesus is coming back for his church. It's an exciting thing. It's an amazing thing. It's not gloom and doom. I am looking forward to it, and I want Jesus to come back in my lifetime. Anybody else? But what that brings is a sense of urgency. If Jesus is coming back, we've got to take the gospel into all the world. When I'm watching a football game, my favorite, I love all football, but my favorite point in a football game, especially if the game is close, is once it hits the 2-minute warning. Once it hits the 2-minute warning, you see both teams firing on all cylinders. They're aggressive. They're throwing passes. They're no longer running the ball. I mean, the defense is giving it all they have. The offense is giving it all they have. Why? Because of the sense of urgency, because the clock is running out. And that's where we are today. Jesus is coming back for his bride, the church. And it's our job while we're here, while the baton is in our hand, we're going to do everything we can to take the gospel to all people. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said this, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So he points to something and tells us, I'm not telling you the day or the hour, but the whole world will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Then I'll come back. And that's a very specific statement. Mandy and I had the opportunity to go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Anybody been there before? It's an amazing experience. I think every believer should experience that at some point. Truly life-changing. There's this one room in the museum, and you go in, it's the translation room, and it's a big kind of oval room. And as you're walking through, you get to see all of the nations and all of the languages in this big circle as you're going around the room, and all the languages that the Bible has been translated into and where it's been distributed throughout the world. Then you get to the end of it, and there's this big section that's empty. And the person that's giving the tour talks about how all of these languages in all of these people groups still don't have the gospel in their language. And then they said, but we believe that once we can get all of these translated and distributed, Jesus will come back. And it really was a sobering moment standing in the room that day as we're looking at those translations thinking, Jesus actually said that. Once everyone has heard, then the day will come. And it's such a cool thing. Again, that's not gloom and doom. That will be the most exciting day in the history of humanity when Jesus comes back. But our job, yeah, I think we can clap to that again. But our job is, why not be a part of the process of saying, Jesus, I want you to come back in my lifetime, and we're going to aggressively take the gospel into all the world. 2 Peter 3:9, I love this because it gives you the heart of God. It says, the Lord's desire is that no one perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. I love this because it says God's heart is for no one to miss out on heaven, but for everyone to come to repentance. Man, what an amazing heart to follow. That should be all of our hearts. And I know it is, but missions is a great way for that to practically play out. We can give, we can pray, we can go. Jesus is coming soon, and he also says that he's going to reward the faithful that are a part of this mission. Revelation 22:12 says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to each person according to what they have done. We're called to go. We're called to be a part of the mission. Every believer, we believe, just to recap, is called to participate, either by going, sending, giving, or praying. That's what we believe biblically. Every single believer is called to missions either by going, sending, giving, or praying so that the gospel reaches every people group on earth. What I love about God's perspective is if you can't go on a mission trip or you can't be a missionary, when you are supporting a missionary, it's as if you're there. You said yes to the call just like them. When you're praying for a missionary because in this season you can't afford the financial support, when you're praying for them and really diligently doing it, it's as if you're there doing the mission's work. We don't just throw in prayer in this mission because it's something we technically have to say. No, we believe prayer changes things and softens hearts. So our desire is for you to find your place in global missions. What is it? What could it be? Well, our last mission Sunday last year, we actually announced that we were sending out our very first full-time ministry, a missionary from our church. And we were able to pray over her and send her out. And I have really good news as well. We're sending out our second missionary at this mission Sunday, full-time. And I want to celebrate both of those. Our first missionary and our second missionary that we're sending out are both here today. So if you would help me welcome Raquel and CJ to the stage. Guys, it's so exciting to have you here, have you back for a little while, Raquel, and you guys are heroes to us. Saying yes to the call of missions to move to a different country is a yes that very few people have ever felt the weight of. And you guys both said yes to that call when God called you. CJ, you've been coming to the church for a couple years now, and God has very specifically called you to something in global missions. And you've had a very unique opportunity. You've been fundraising. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're going, when you're going, and kind of how all this started for you?
Yes, sir. So I've been walking through my call to missions the past year or so with our leadership here. And this past September, I was in Kenya with a team. And while I was there, I was offered an opportunity to come serve in the missions field in a larger capacity, an internship program for an 11-month assignment, which I'll be leaving for here in about 40 days. And during this time, I'm going to get to explore the call that the Lord has placed on me in greater depths while getting to experience living in and working in the mission field in a full-time capacity. And while I'm there, I'm going to be serving a career missionary and also the national leadership to Next Gen.
This is in Kenya. Okay, Kenya.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. In Kenya.
Just keep going. I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that
you were on
it.
A roll.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Just getting.
So you're ministering to Next Gen, also serving the national leaders there. And one of the biggest things you're praying for is while you're there, you know God's called you to missions, but while you're there for these 11 months working, you're also saying, God, give me clarity on what my long-term missions endeavor looks like. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, absolutely. That's my biggest need right now is the prayer support here, that the Lord would very clearly show me my next step after this internship assignment, where he wants me and what my role in his great commission is.
Awesome. Give CJ a hand. Raquel, we last year at our Mission Sunday, we brought you up on the stage and commissioned you to go. And you moved to Chihuahua, Mexico, ministering to the Tarahumara people. And that's a big yes to say, and you did it. And what a huge faith step. And truly, you're a hero to us. We love you. And we just want you to kind of give us a little bit of a general update on what God's been doing.
Yeah, I shared in the last service that this was kind of a full circle moment for me because it was a service like this when I was 9 years old that I gave my life to Christ when a missionary had come and shared their story, and God used that missionary story to save my life. And from that day on, I thought, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and I believe that I was going to be called to be a missionary. And I want to share that again because I truly believe that there's somebody in the room that has been on the edge, and God is waiting for you to say yes to him so that you can step into whatever calling that he has on your life. And so I don't know who that is, but I felt like I wanted to share that. But yes, I have been living in Mexico for about 7 months, going on to 8 months now. And every day feels like I am living a miracle, because what feels super unnatural, leaving everything that I knew, leaving my job, everything that was comfortable, is stretching me. And there's days where I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And I shared in the last service that I felt like I was the worst missionary in the world, and people laughed. But truthfully, some days I struggle through it, and there's nothing that is super spiritual about me other than I love Jesus and I said yes to him. And so I'm so thankful to this church and to this house, because truthfully, I could not be doing what I'm doing without you guys. There's days where at the end of the day after ministry, that those are the things that I love to do, where I get to go out into the community, I get to share the gospel, I get to plan outreaches, but then I come home and the spiritual battle is so heavy, and I call the church and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know, have no water, and then I have to do, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, and the church has been here for me. When I left, when you guys launched me out in May, I truthfully thought, I'm going to leave and they're going to forget about me. And so to be able to come back and given the opportunity to stand before you guys and share, truthfully, I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for your support. The truth is I can't do this without you. And so thank you guys. The third part is, like I said, I need your help. I need your help financially, which this part is the hardest thing for me to do, because it's humbling to stand here and ask for your financial support, but I need your help. So tomorrow, I'm having a dinner at North Campus at 6:30, and my heart here is just to be able to go in more detail about all that God is doing in Mexico, and then of course to fundraise so that I can keep doing what I'm doing. And I believe there's like 2,000 to 3,000 Tarahumaras, and it's an unreached people group. Our goal is within 10 years that every single person will hear the name of Jesus. And so come here, and if you can, support in any way.
Can I just say, don't ever feel weird about asking for support, because we're family. And I don't feel weird about asking my family for help. And I think that it's incredible. And so there's so many people in the room right now, they're just like, thank you for telling me you need help, because we're here. And so I just want you to know that, like, we're so honored to partner with you. We're so proud of you for what you're doing and for your yes. And so I just want to just double down on that. And if you're just kind of on the fence about going to the dinner tomorrow night, will you just go ahead and do that early? Just RSVP early so they can plan for how many people and all of that, and go and just show your support. And I think that tomorrow night's going to be very impactful. And we're just praying that all of your needs are met in just one day. We just get it all taken care of. But we're really, really proud of you and what you're doing. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah, so our church financially supports both of our missionaries, of course. But then we also completely believe that individual members should also be given the opportunity to individually contribute. And that's what this dinner is important, but also they're gonna be out in the atrium here at our central campus after service and would love for just to talk. You can get their stories. If you feel compelled today to give them monthly support, do that. Every little bit matters. But even just saying, hey, I'm praying for you guys, I'm with you guys, is so huge. So here's what we want to do today, how we're going to end our service. At both of our campuses, if you guys would stand, we're going to pray over both of our missionaries today. And I'm going to invite Sherilyn Lucero, our missions director, up and to join us for prayer. And also Pastor Chris Cunningham is going to come up. And when we're done praying, he's going to give you guys some next steps on what we're going to do and how we're going to, some next steps on mission stuff. But if you could stretch out your hand here and at North Campus, let's pray over CJ and Raquel. Father, we come before you today, and God, I pray for CJ. God, this amazing young man of God, when you called, he said yes. His passion is contagious, God, and just in about 40 days, he will be moving all the way across the world. And God, for those 11 months, we're praying for his safety. We're praying for ministry to flow through him, for lives to be changed and impacted everywhere he goes. And God, we also pray that while he's there, his request for clarity, God, that you would give that to him. God, by the time he comes home, he will know what the long-term picture looks like for him in regards to missions. God, protect him, financially bless him. God, I pray that you would guard his mind, guard his heart, guard his emotions. The good days and bad days, may your Holy Spirit lead him, guide him, and protect him. God, I also pray for Raquel. God, this amazing woman of God who said yes to the call to missions. God, I pray that you would bless her beyond her wildest dreams financially. God, I pray that by the end of today or tomorrow, that the financial stress would be gone, that she would be fully funded and supported there as a missionary, God, where she can fully focus on the ministry that you're calling her to do. God, I pray that you would open up doors that she could never imagine to be open. I pray that you would sustain her every day. In the low moments, remind her that you are with her, that you called her, and that you're there as her protector, and that you're also her guide, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work through her everywhere she goes. That the people, God, that lives would be changed everywhere she steps her foot, God, that lives would be changed. We pray that you would honor her, yes, bless her life, protect her. We thank you. We thank you for both of our missionaries. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.